Okay, we've got a great Bible passage in front of us that's going to help us understand more about Jesus. So let's pray and ask God to help us get a right view of who Jesus is. Please pray with me. Our Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We want to thank you for church here. Thank you also that you haven't left us in the dark about Jesus, that you have spoken and revealed who he is so that we might know him, so that we can respond to him rightly. Father, please teach us today by your Holy Spirit. Help us understand what you are saying in this passage and help us to respond rightly to the Jesus we see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said a little earlier, you may not realise it, but one of the most important things you will ever do is to get a right view of who Jesus is. And that's why I think this series is such a good idea. It is fantastic to spend summer thinking through who exactly is Jesus and not shy away from some of the negative things and thinking about some of the positive things. Let's put it all out there. Let's have a good look at who Jesus is. And I hope this summer you get lots of people coming along and joining you to get a right view of who Jesus is. So it's a great thing to do. I'm really delighted we're doing it today. Jesus is intolerant. Wow. Maybe that is your present view of Jesus. Maybe as you imagine Jesus in your mind, you see Jesus as someone who is truly intolerant. Perhaps someone who looks a little bit like this. Is that the Jesus in your mind? Or perhaps someone who looks like this. Or maybe even like this. Jesus is intolerant. But maybe you're at the other end of the spectrum. Perhaps the Jesus you want to see looks more like this. Sorry, next slide. Yep. Is that the Jesus that you want to see? Or perhaps like this. Or finally, like this. Is that the way that you want to view Jesus? I don't know whether your view of Jesus is closer to one of those ends or the other, but I do know that it is vital for all of us that we tackle this issue and get a better view of Jesus. So let's have a closer look. Is Jesus intolerant? There are so many Bible passages that we could go to work out the answer to this question. I've chosen one, but there are so many others that you're not restricted. Please go away after this morning and look at so many other passages to get an answer to this question. But the passage that I've chosen today, it involves Jesus in a conversation with the religious leaders of his day. The discussion is about religion, or more particularly, why Jesus' disciples aren't more religious. So we're at point one, why aren't they more religious? Grab your Bibles, let's have a look, verses 1 and 2. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees, teachers of the law, they were highly religious Jewish people. They had travelled from Jerusalem, the most important Jewish city in Israel, the home of the Jewish temple, and they've come to see what Jesus is doing. Now, Jesus and his disciples are also Jewish, but they don't seem to be following all of the Jewish traditions, the religious traditions. They failed to observe the ceremonial washing of hands that should be practiced by Jewish people before eating. Now, you and I perhaps wash our hands for reasons of hygiene or because we want to keep our mothers happy, but religious Jewish people wash their hands for other reasons. Look at verses 3 and 4. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. This tradition had grown out of 1,000 years of worship in the temple, Jewish worship. Because God is holy, the priests who worked in God's temple wanted to demonstrate that holiness of God. So before they went to work in the temple, they ceremonially washed their hands to demonstrate God is holy. We are not. We'll wash. Now, I guess over 1,000 years, what happened is, well, if it's good enough for the temple, let's do it at home as well. I want to symbolize God is holy and I'm not. So we'll wash before we eat. And as you have it, a tradition unfolds and you can see how it comes. Over 1,000 years, you have this traditional ceremonial washing of hands. So why aren't Jesus' disciples observing it? That's the question in verse 5, isn't it? So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law ask Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? Why aren't the disciples more religious? Are they Jewish or just Jew-ish? That's the question, isn't it? And it's a bad joke as well. Thank you, I'll be here all week. Should Jesus' disciples be more religious? Have a look at how Jesus responds. Verse 6. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. Wow. That doesn't sound overly tolerant, does it? Hypocrite. It's a fairly strong word. And Jesus keeps going. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. It certainly doesn't sound like Jesus is tolerant. It sounds like Jesus is intolerant. We're at point two. Jesus is intolerant. Jesus isn't pulling any punches here, is he? He accuses Jewish religious leaders of being hypocrites. He's saying they are pretenders, pretending to be pious, pretending to be holy, when in fact their lives are far from it. Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah, who spoke to God's people about 600 years earlier. And he said, Isaiah got it right when he called you guys and your ancestors hypocrites. Just like their forefathers, 600 years earlier, these religious Jewish leaders are far away from God. They may say the right words, honour God with their lips, but Jesus says their hearts are far from God. They can say the right words, but their hearts are saying something very differently. Now, let's take stock here for a moment. These are highly religious people. They are leaders in their religion. They are doing many religious things in an effort to please God. If anyone looked like they were right with God, then it would have been these men. They were models of piety and religion. And Jesus is completely intolerant of their religious efforts. He says it's all in vain. It's all a waste of time. It's all pointless. Because all of their religious observances have not made them any closer to God. Their hearts are still far from God. Now, don't you find that a frightening proposition? You can devote yourself to religion. You can do all kinds of religious things, even praising God with your lips, offering worship to God, and you can be as far away from God as the bloke down the street who doesn't care about God at all. These verses tell us that you can have religion without having God. But there's something even worse than religion without God, and that is religion that gets in the way of God. Listen to what Jesus said about how the Jewish leaders have done this. It's a little bit complicated. We'll read it, and then I'll try and walk us through it. From verses 9 to 13. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban, that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus, You nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. You do many things like that. Okay, a little bit confusing. Let me try to summarize the argument here. God's word has always said that a child must honor his or her parents. In fact, in ancient Israel, if a child seriously dishonored his or her parents, they could face the death penalty. Now, that makes my mum's discipline with the wooden spoon look absolutely soft, doesn't it? So you have this really important command from God for a child to honour their parents. But the religious leaders have added all their own rules and regulations to the point that if a Jewish boy or girl devoted everything they had to God, the Jewish leaders would no longer let them do anything for their parents. Can you see how their religious practices, their religious rules, their religious observances have got in the way of people actually serving God? These religious people have gagged God by their rules and regulations. Their religion has cancelled God out. Their religious rules have squeezed God out of the picture. Do you think Jesus should be more tolerant of religion that gets in the way of God? Religion that stops people from truly serving God. Is Jesus right to be intolerant of empty religion, of godless religion? We better ask the question. Point three, is Jesus right to be intolerant? See, intolerance sounds bad, doesn't it? Intolerant, who wants to be called intolerant? I don't want to be called intolerant. It feels like one of those bad things that you don't want to be. Intolerant, I don't want to be labelled that. But do you think it's possible that intolerance could ever somehow be the right response, be the loving response to a particular situation? If you drove here to church this morning, imagine you were on your way here to church, just minding your own business, driving along responsibly at the speed limit, when the driver behind you decides he really doesn't like the colour of your car. You find yourself caught up in a road rage incident. The guy behind you is threatening all kinds of things. You don't want to stop. You don't know what he's going to do. He's intimidating you, chasing you. And there just happens to be a police car driving behind both of you. Now, before you breathe a sigh of relief, can I ask you whether you would prefer that the police officer be tolerant or intolerant of the crime being committed against you? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Intolerance is not always a bad thing. Sometimes intolerance is exactly the right response. Now, we can see really clearly that Jesus is intolerant of empty religion. What we need to work out is whether it is good and right that Jesus refuses to tolerate these things. So why is Jesus so intolerant of these religious observances? Well, the problem with religion is that it can only change externals. Eat this, don't eat that. Say this, don't say that. Do this, don't do that. They are all external things that can't change the real problem. Have a look at verses 14 and 15. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." The things that make us unclean before God are not outside us. They are not external things that we might eat or touch and become impure through. The source of our uncleanness before God, unfortunately, is not outside us. The source of our impurity before God, unfortunately, is deep within us. We're unclean before God because of internal things that come out of us, not external things that go in. And Jesus uses religious regulations about food and drink as an example. Most religions have a do's and don'ts list about foods which can or can't make you pure or impure before God, whether it's the meat of pigs or animals not killed in the right way or caffeinated drinks. Many religions have rules and regulations about foods which will make you unclean before God. But look at what Jesus says in verses 17 to 19. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Food doesn't make people unclean before God. No food has the power to defile your heart. Your heart cannot be defiled before God by food. But don't get too excited by that, because the sad reality is that our hearts don't need any help from food to be defiled before God. Our hearts are pretty good at defiling us all by themselves. Have a look at the last four verses, verses 20 to 23. Jesus went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." This is a sobering look at the state of our hearts. This is Jesus' diagnosis of the human heart problem. Jesus sees that our hearts are full of all kinds of evil desires. And I know that if I'm honest with myself, I've seen most of these things in my own heart. With this problem in my heart, I don't deserve to be accepted by a holy God. With this problem in my heart, I don't deserve to live forever with a holy God. Why would God want me when my heart looks like that? My heart is guilty of all those sins against God. And I think if you're honest with yourself, you will see that your heart has a similar list of problems. The things that make us unclean before God are not outside us to be avoided religiously. The things that make us unclean before God are inside us. The sins that come out of our very hearts. So can we do anything religious to fix our hearts? I actually took on that challenge a few years ago. I thought to myself, let's give it a whirl. Let's give it a shot. And I went to the extreme. I thought, okay, I've heard people speaking about New Age crystals that can purify me spiritually. So I went looking for a New Age spiritual shop, and the place to go is King Street, Newtown. I went into the first shop, and I said, "Excuse me, do you have anything that can purify my heart?" And they looked at me a little bit funny, and then asked, "What do you mean?" And this is where I think I scared them. I said, "Do you have a crystal or something that can cleanse my heart from bad things that I have done?" Have you ever had someone look at you like you're a serial killer? The lady responded and said, "I don't think a crystal by itself will be enough." Then she sent me up the street to another New Age shop. At that shop, again, I scared the life out of another poor shop assistant, but I did end up getting a crystal that makes some big promises, and I brought it with me. This Raspberry Quartz claims, and I quote, to gently draw off negative energy and replace it with loving vibes. It enhances positive affirmations, strengthens the physical heart and circulatory system, and releases impurities. But here's the big one. It claims to purify and open the heart at all levels and bring deep inner healing and self-love. Not bad for $4, really, don't you think? Do you think doing this kind of religious thing will really fix the problem with my heart? But do you think doing any other kind of religious thing is going to be any better at fixing the problem with my heart? No. If our real problem is the sin of our hearts, then you can see why religion can't help us. And I think you can see why Jesus is right to be intolerant of religious activity that can't fix the problem. Doing good religious things, it may be able to tidy up the exterior a little and make us look a little bit more holy on the outside. But if our real problem is deep in our hearts, then religion is just like putting nice new cladding on the outside of a completely termite-infested home. It may make the exterior look good, but our problem is deep inside, isn't it? We need much more than religion if our hearts are ever going to be acceptable to God. We need much more than religion. We need forgiveness. So we're at point four, the last point. We need God's forgiveness. If we are ever going to be pure before God, we need something that can really deal with the problem of our hearts. And Jesus is intolerant of empty religion because it will not deal with the problem of our hearts. The answer to a sinful heart is not doing more religious things. It is being forgiven by Jesus. And that is exactly why God sent Jesus into our world. God didn't leave us alone to try and fix our problem religiously by ourselves. God sent us a Saviour who could bring forgiveness for sinful hearts. Jesus knows that sin has a grip on us that is beyond our ability to undo. And that is why not long after Jesus spoke this passage, he set his course towards the cross. If you keep reading through the Gospel of Mark, and I hope that you will do that, you will see that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, where he knew that he would suffer death on a cross. He resolutely walked towards that cross and sacrificed his own life so that people like you and me could be forgiven for the sin which flows out of our hearts. The Bible tells us that God's fair and right punishment for sin is death. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus stepped in and took the punishment in our place. He died to pay the death penalty that I deserved to pay for the sin of my heart. He took the punishment for our sin so that he can forgive sinful hearts, the sinful hearts of all who turn to him and put their trust in him. The thing I love about Jesus' intolerance is that it always produces love, not hate. That is the right kind of intolerance, isn't it? Intolerance that seeks the best for others. So I guess I want to finish by asking you, what are you going to do with the sin of your heart? You can try religion. You can try as much religion, as many religions as you want, but it's just the cladding around the termite-infested home, isn't it? The alternative to religion is a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Jesus has done all that is needed for you to be completely forgiven by God. He's paid for the sin of your heart at the cross. And his work means that you and I can now be 100% acceptable to God if we turn to him and trust in him. So if you want to be right with God, if you want to be pure of heart, the only thing you can do that will work is to throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus and ask for his forgiveness. And don't get it wrong, asking Jesus for forgiveness is not a religious ritual. Asking Jesus for forgiveness is a relational request. And Jesus loves to forgive all people who turn to him and come into a relationship with him. It is a relationship where Jesus is the Lord of your life. You are giving control of your life to him. But he is a good Lord, and he's already given his life for you. It just might be that today's the day that you actually do want to give your life to Jesus and receive the forgiveness that he died to give. And if you want to do that, then I would love to help you do it. In a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer that would be the kind of prayer that you might want to pray to God to receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour and to receive his forgiveness. I don't want any surprises, so I'm going to actually read the prayer through to you. I don't want to surprise you. I don't want you to do this if you don't want to do it. It's just if you do want to make Jesus your Lord, this is the kind of prayer you could pray. Let me read it to you, then we'll know what we're doing, then we'll pray. The prayer goes like this: Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin deep in my heart. I know that religious observances can't fix my problem. Thank you for sending Jesus to deal with my great problem. Thank you that he came and died in my place so that I may be forgiven. Please forgive me and change me that I may live from now on with Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. Amen. Now, that's not everyone's prayer. If you've already received Jesus, that's fantastic. You already know that love and forgiveness. But you might like to pray that others who haven't might be able to do this. That might be helpful. Or you might not be ready to pray this prayer. Can I encourage you? You've got to keep thinking who Jesus is so that you make a good and wise response to him. And there's two good ways of doing that I'll tell you about after we pray. But if you're in the middle right now, ready to actually make that commitment to Jesus, ready to receive forgiveness for your heart, why don't you pray with me now that prayer that we've just read? Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear God, I am sorry for the sin deep in my heart. I know that religious observances can't fix my problem. Thank you for sending Jesus to deal with my great problem. Thank you that he came and died in my place so that I may be forgiven. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live from now on with Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. Amen. They are not magic words. It's not a religious incantation. In fact, the words really don't matter as much as the desire of your heart that the words express. The prayer is about changing the direction of your life. And if you've prayed this prayer between you and God seriously now, the direction of your life has changed. And it's a much better direction that you are now heading in. If you've prayed this prayer, I'm delighted. You have chosen wisely to respond rightly to the Lord Jesus. And as you start out this new direction in the Christian life, make sure you get help heading in the right direction, starting out the first steps of the Christian life. And that's why it's great to have a great church, isn't it? The church here really is good at helping new Christians make good first steps in the right direction. And so that's why we ask that everyone might fill in the feedback card, so that no one feels awkward about saying, oh, look, everyone will watch me if I fill in the feedback card because I just prayed. I'd love it if you'd all take a moment to take out the feedback card. And if you just prayed the prayer, let the church here know, and they'd love to help you make those first steps really well as a new Christian. If you are someone who hasn't yet felt that you can pray this prayer, doesn't yet follow Jesus, but really you realise that the wise thing to do is to have another look at Jesus, then the two great ways to do it. One, keep coming along to this series. It'll be a great way of understanding more about Jesus. The summer series here, Jesus Is... And the second one is, there's a great little course, 6 one-hour meetings on a weeknight, I think it will be. It's called Simply Christianity, and it's a great way of just having a bit more of a look at the Gospel of Mark and actually thinking who is Jesus and how you might respond wisely to him. I want to thank you for having me and for the team with you. We love coming up here to the lakes every year. Thanks for your hospitality.